Hey, this is Eric, and welcome to the Control-Alt-Achieve EdTech Links of the Week for January 8th, 2024. This is the show where I share educational technology links, resources, and news that I've come across in the last week, as well as any new posts and updates from my blog. This week, I have three resources to share from around the internet and 10 updates from my blog. As always, you can access all of these links as well as resources from previous weeks at bit.ly/CAA-links. All right, let's get started with links from around the internet. So first up, we have the Gen AI Chatbot Prompt Library for Educators. So the Gen AI Chatbot Prompt Library for Educators is a collection of over 120 educational AI prompts for tools such as ChatGPT, Bard, Copilot, Claude, and more. It includes loads and loads of different categories in which you can simply find a prompt, copy that prompt, edit it with your specific information, and then paste that into the AI chat tool of your choice. Let's take a look at how this works. So if we head on over to the prompt library, you'll see that they've got lots of different categories here. I'm just gonna go to the all prompts so I can look at all of them at once here, but you can go into individual categories here. And you'll see that there are prompts set up for administrative tasks, for assessments, for communication, for students. There's a section on lesson planning that is very, very large. A lot of prompts in that section there. We've got professional development, social emotional learning, special needs. So what you can do is go into one of these categories, and we'll just go with assessment, and say maybe you want to make a rubric, for example. Go ahead and give a click on the rubric option, and what you're going to get is a rubric prompt. So in each case, whatever tool or task you've chosen, there's going to be a prompt that's going to be a template that you can use. In this case, it is you are an expert teacher and curriculum writer skilled in assessing student work. Create a rubric for my grade level and subject. So you're going to put in your own information there, class, studying topic, and you would put in your topic. My students are completing assignment title, which you would fill in which they assignment description. Now you describe what it is they're going to be doing. Format the rubric as a chart and include a 5-point scale, or of course you could adjust that to whatever you would like. And then below there's an example of that being filled in. So the idea is they've taken the time to put together this prompt that you can then copy and then modify with your specific information. At that point, you'd basically just take that and go over to your favorite large language model, whether it's ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Google Bard, Claude, whatever the case might be, and then you could paste that in and get the result. I really appreciate sites like this because what this allows you to do is to be able to see new ideas on how you can use these large language models. I know sometimes when you go to ChatGPT and you see the blanking, the blinking cursor there, you're like, well, I want to use this, but I'm not sure what to type in. Well, it's so wonderful to have, again, over 120 pre-made prompts that you can simply copy, modify, and use. It's a great way to get more out of these chatbot tools, but also to learn new ways that you can use these. So big thanks to the AI for Education website for curating, creating, and sharing these Gen AI chatbot prompts in this library. Awesome stuff. All right, next up we have the first five. The first five is from edtomorrow.com, and it's a free daily resource for educators. What you get is an email with practical ideas and activities that are perfect for the first 5 minutes of class time, hence the name, first five. That email comes to your inbox every morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that should be early enough no matter where you're at across the U.S. There's 18 new activities and ideas every day that focus on classroom connections, self-care, care for others, development of character, and so forth. These are ideas and resources for building dynamic and trusting relationships within classroom communities. And you can pick from, you know, one of those activities from either the primary or the secondary first five list to use to get your class started each day. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at it. If you head on over to the website, they've got some information here, but mostly want to point out the ease of signing up. Just a simple button there to subscribe to this free email resource that you'll get each day. A little bit more information there if you want to check out some of the details about that particular resource. But the what I want to do is pop on over to an example of what one looks like. If you go to the first five drop down at the top, there's a link for what does the first five look like. That'd be a good way for you to see what you might be getting here. So this is a representative sample of one of these. So the type of things you're going to get in that email, there'll be a section called Connect where there will be like a meme where you can post a funny meme to share a good laugh with your students. There'll be a questions section there where you can choose one or more of the questions to facilitate connection opportunities in your classroom. There's an at the door section where you have a suggestion for a creative way to greet your students as they enter the classroom. There's a quick connect section where you can have a quick debate on a topic. The one they have here is picking a favorite streaming service. Then there's a section under care where this includes things like check-in, giving students a scale to identify how they are feeling. In this case, which emoji do you feel like? There's a mindfulness section which can help increase our ability to regulate emotions. These practices decrease stress, anxiety, and depression. There's a section on positivity to help build classroom culture by choosing to be positive. And then lastly, there's a whole character section here, including a quote where there'll be a quote of the day to inspire personal growth, as well as a video that the students can discuss what stands out to them from that video. Again, all of this information is going to come to you every single day in an email. You can choose between the primary or the secondary level with the options that you have each day. So that is First Five, a fantastic free way from edtomorrow.com to include some social emotional learning, some connection, some self-care, some encouragement into your classroom to kick off each day. And next up, we have new Google Courses for Educators. So Google has updated their list of free self-paced courses for educators. There are three new courses that include a basic use of Google Workspace for education fundamentals. This one replaces the old level one training. There's also a course called intermediate use of Google Workspace for education fundamentals, which replaces the old level two training. And there's also a premium teaching and learning features course that explores the features of the paid version of Google Workspace for Education. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at these. So if you haven't been to the Google page with their online courses, please do follow the link in the links of the week here to check out this site. There are loads of courses here, a lot of great ones we've had for a while. There's a Google Classroom course. There's a practice sets course. There's a course on Chromebooks for educators. There's one here on tools for diversity learners, tools to support English language learners, on and on down the line. These are all free courses that you can just take at your own time and pace, whatever works for you. Now, way at the bottom of the list, they've got some older ones such as the fundamentals training and the advanced training. This is what used to be the courses that would prepare you if you wanted to take the Google Certified Educator Level 1 and Level 2 tests. Now, these are pretty big courses and they're still here. You can still use them, but like 15-hour courses. they're really large. Well, they recently did updates to these, and so at the very top of the list of courses here, you'll see those ones I just mentioned. Here are the three new courses. There's the basic use of Google Workspace for Education Fundamentals. So this is the new version of what would have been the preparation for a level one certified educator. I'd say it's about 2.5 hours worth of content now. So a lot quicker. You can move through that a lot faster. Then here's the one on the intermediate use of Google Workspace. That would be level two. Likewise, about 2.5 hours of content. And then they do have a third one that's not for a certification. It's just for knowledge, just for information. It's the premium teaching and learning features. If you're not sure, you know, if your school wants to move to the paid version of Google Workspace versus the free version, this is a good way to see all of the things that are included included in that and those tiers that are the paid tiers. Now, if you do decide to go through one of these courses, again, they're totally free. Just give a click on the course and you can jump right on into that. And what you're going to find here are going to be lots of content that include videos to watch, text to read, interactives to interact with, probably some quick little questions to check yourself as you work through these, again, at your own time and pace, whatever works best for you. So if you haven't checked them out, please do. It's a great way to increase your comfort level and knowledge with the Google tools. All right, so that wraps up the links from around the internet. Now let's switch to posts and updates from my blog. All right, so first up, we're gonna wrap up the Cool Tools 2023 series. You may recall that at the end of last year, I did a Cool Tools series where I looked at one new tool per day from December 1st through the 24th, sort of like a EdTech Advent calendar. And I focused on the theme of artificial intelligence tools and resources, since that is such a hot topic. The whole series can be found at bit.ly/cool-tools-23. Now, in previous links of the week, we've been covering quite a few of these. I believe we have gotten through the first 18 of them, December 1st through the 18th, but that does bring us to our final installment. The last six Cool Tools we're going to take a look at now. That would be Conquer, Curapod, Sorcerer, Enlighten AI, Conmigo, and Edpuzzle. And then I did do a bonus with some honorable mentions of some tools that I was not able to fit in to all of those 24 days. So let's go ahead and wrap up this final week of Cool Tools. So first up, we have Conquer. So Conquer is a tool from the makers of Moat, which uses AI to generate quizzes. The quiz can come from any topic, and you can also include source material. The questions can include multiple choice, mixed, read and respond, or fill in the blank. And the quizzes can be taken right inside of Conquer, or you can export them over to Google Forms. Let's go ahead and take a look at how this works. So I'm going to pop on over to the Conquer website, and you see, first off, real simple to get started. We just want to go ahead and put in a topic. I'm going with the Boston Tea Party for my simple example here today. Put the topic in and click on Next. At this point now, we do have a few options here. We can choose what kind of questions we're going to go with. I'm just going to go with multiple choice for this particular example. We can also choose the number of questions that we want to have in the quiz. We can then choose the grade level that we'd like to set that at, as well as the language output for that. Lots of languages to choose from there. Now, you don't have to include source material, but you can. So in my case, I do have a few paragraphs on the Boston Tea Party. I'm just going to copy and paste those in here. Note, there is a word limit as far as how many words you can include in that, but I'm well within that particular word limit for this example here. So in this case, it's going to generate a quiz that is based off of this particular text here. Now, if I had not included that, it would just be using the general topic of the Boston Tea Party as appropriate for an eighth grade level. All right, simple as that. Excellent. Let's go ahead and we'll click on the generate button and give it a moment to generate those questions. Now, when it does generate those questions, we'll have lots of options to be able to go through and evaluate each of those questions, decide if we want to make any changes or not. So there we go. Looks like we've got our five questions that I asked for. On the side here is the original text, and here we have those five multiple choice questions going down the side over here. Now, again, for each one of these, I can click on that question. If I needed to make some change, no worries. I could, you know, change the answers. I could change the question. I could also change the feedback that is provided if they got it correct or incorrect. Another really neat thing here is the ability to do a validation. So if you aren't positive if that is the right answer for the question before you send this out to the students, you can click the link that says validate answer answer with Google search. And basically what it does is it's going to run a search for that particular content of that question. In this case, what was the target of the Boston Tea Party? The Tea Act being the answer to that. And it is doing some verification, and we can click on any of these links to read more and see that that is the correct answer for that question. Excellent. Of course, we can rearrange the questions if we want to put them in different order as well there. Very easy to make those adjustments as need be. But let's say we're happy with the quiz that we have created here. At this point, we'll simply come over here to the share button, give a click on that. We've got a couple of options here. Now, as I mentioned, you can run the quiz right inside of Conquer. Basically, copy this link, give that to your students. They're going to join with a code, in this case with a link, and they will take the quiz. It'll grade it with inside of Conquer, and you can see all the grades right there. So you can absolutely do that. But at the same time, there is the ability to export this to Google Forms, which is really nice. I really enjoyed that. If I give a click on the Google Forms button here, basically what it's doing is it's doing all the hard work for you of copying and pasting every one of those questions and answers and so forth. So let's go ahead and click here to open up in Google Forms, and you'll see that yes, indeed, it did create that quiz for us. Fantastic. So as I go down through here, I've got the original text, then I've got all the questions. I can click on those questions, and again, I could change them inside of Google Forms if I wanted to, but the answer key is already set up. Everything's ready to go. I can simply assign this to my students through Google Classroom or whatever method that I would like to push this form out to the students. Now, with Conquer, there is a free version and a paid version. The free version allows you to share up to 5 quizzes with 50 responses, all types of questions, a 10 question limit, and up to 1,200 words in those readings. So a nice, robust, free option that you can use and get a lot of value out of. If it's something that you do want to pay for, there are paid options there, $3.99 a month for the basic and $5.99 a month for the pro. Basically, those increase how many quizzes you can create, how many responses you can collect, how many words can be in the readings, and those scale up as they go from there. All right, so that's Conquer, a great way to be able to generate assessments with the help of AI and send them right on over to Google Forms. All right, next up we have CuraPod. So CuraPod is an AI-powered tool for creating interactive lessons. The lesson will be in the format of a slideshow that your students can join and interact with. You can create that slideshow manually by yourself if you want, but the beauty is you can use the built-in AI generators to help you create the slideshow. Let's go ahead and take a look at how this works. All right, we'll pop on over to the CuraPod website, and here's where I can create a new lesson. Of course, I can find lessons that I have done in the past here as well, but we'll just start on the homepage here and we'll create a new lesson. Now, we can go through the suggestions that are here to get us started. For example, they've got categories on templates for writing, for reading comprehension, for vocabulary and grammar, and on down the line here, brain breaks and daily routines and so forth. Or we can just limit it by the subject. You say, oh, I'm a math teacher. So if I do that, I'm going to see specifically templates that would work best with math. Now, I can start by choosing one of these to launch the creation tool, or I could go up to create lesson in the top, and again, I can choose the exact same options from here. If I choose write more, for example, here are all of the pre-made templates, or for reading comprehension, etc., and I can scroll through all of these. Now, for this example today, I'm going to go on over to full lessons, and I'm going to say, I just want CuraPod to create the entire lesson for me. I'm going to give it some info and let it go. So let's go with full lesson. Again, you don't have to. You can do this, bit by bit, piece by piece, but I'm going to go ahead and just have it create a full lesson for me. So in this case, I basically need to pick what the topic of this is going to be and the grade level. So in this case, let's say this is grade 7. And then as far as the topic for this, let's say that we are reading Charlotte's Web, and that the particular standard that the students are trying to reach is the ability to comprehend literature, including stories, drama, and poems, by the end of the year, and to then answer questions based on that. Excellent. Well, there we go. As simple as that, I can now just go ahead and click Do Magic. And there we go. Looks like it generated 14 slides for this example. We can go through and we can add individually these slides to our presentation, but let's just go ahead and add all 14 of them here to get started with. And so now what we're going to see here are the 14 slides that got created. And we could go through these one by one. Looks like we've got some slides here. We have an introduction slide. Looks like there's a slide where it's giving us a little bit of information about how AI created this. We've got the standards that are being covered, and now we get into an introduction on Charlotte's Web, a little bit about the book and the author and the impact. We've got a poll that comes up right away asking about the main characters in the book. And so this is where this becomes interactive. When the students participate, some of these slides are going to be instructional. We're just going to be giving information to them, but other slides, they're going to actually be able to participate. In this case, in a live poll. That's great. That's going to involve students in what you're doing in class, and you're going to get really good feedback from the students at the same time. As we keep going here, we've got a slide on the main characters in the story. We've got some themes being covered here, and now another interactive slide. This one is a drawing slide where we're going to sit together in pairs and then use text or drawing visuals to show your thinking on the topic of the values of friendship, love, and loyalty in the story. Here's another drawing example. Here's another another informational slide here talking about different literary techniques that are used in the story. Here's another poll further on in there. Looks like we have another slide here talking about some text complexity and vocabulary in the story. Looks like one more poll there at the end. And then lastly, we have a writing option here at the end, an exit ticket. So based upon our exploration of the main themes, can you identify one key theme of the story and explain how EBY uses the characters and events to develop this theme? Now, again, this is fantastic. I could say, all right, this is great. I've got my full slideshow. I'm ready to go. Everything looks great. But if not, no worries. If you decided maybe you don't need, you know, another poll here at this particular spot, you could always come in and you could delete a slide, or you can edit these. You're allowed to go in and make changes. Just click on the slide and you can very easily edit them. And if you need to, you can come over to the side here and there's additional things like adding more text or media or other elements or changing the background. Things like that. So you can, if you want to, make as many changes as you would like. Or I could always come here to where I generated these. I can move back a click and I could pick another one. I could say, this was fantastic, but I want to add, you know, a Freyer model into this. No worries at all. I could click on that, put in the information I need, generate that, and add it. Or you can do things manually. There's a create your own tab up here. If you say, I just want to add another slide that has a word cloud or an open-ended question or a poll, you can generate your own there as well. Now, as much as this is awesome with the AI creating this lesson for us, there's another really neat AI feature that if you take a look at our final slide here, the exit ticket, this is one that allows for personalized feedback. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. So let's say we're at the end of the lesson and the students are now doing the exit ticket. They're going to write up a response to this. Well, that's an awful lot, of course, for you to go through and read through all of those, which certainly you want to be able to do. But wouldn't it be great to provide some AI feedback for the students right away? Well, on these personalized feedback slides, you can do that. So if I come here and I pop over to edit activity, you'll notice that for this particular one, I have the option to put in an expected answer. And so we're giving them 2 minutes at a seventh grade level, focusing on comprehension. I can fill in what a good exemplar to this question should be. When that happens, the students will then get immediate AI feedback on their particular response. So that's a really great way to leverage AI in the actual activity itself, not just creating the activity. Now, when this is all said and done, you may wonder, how do you use this? Is it a slideshow? What is it? Well, it is a slideshow, but it's an interactive slideshow that is built with CuraPod. And so when the time comes, you're going to go up to the present button up here in the top. You'll give a click there. And what that's going to do, I'll go ahead and turn off my audio there. What that's going to do is that is going to give us a spot where we can allow students to join. There will be a QR code they can scan, or there'll be a code they can type in. If they go to curie.live, they can type in that code. You can, of course, just copy that yourself. And if you copy that, you could drop that into Google Classroom or wherever you want. And then once the students do join, you'll then be able to start going through the slideshow slide by slide. And when you get to those slides that are interactive, that's where the students are going to be able to participate. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, well, let's go ahead and we will exit out of that quick example there. Now, when it comes to pricing here, as with many of these tools, there's a fantastic free option for this. The free version of CuraPod does not limit you on how many you can create or your participants. Really robust, nice free option there. The biggest limit is on translation, how many translations you can do, and the character limit on the AI feedback. There are, though, some paid versions. So, for example, at $7.50 a month, you can have a larger character limit for the AI feedback and access to some premium AI templates. And of course, there are also site licenses and district licenses as well. All right. Well, when it comes to creating slideshows, CuraPod is a great tool to allow you to very quickly generate a slideshow that is also interactive and can provide AI feedback for your students as they work through the content. Great stuff. And next up, we have Sorcerer. So Sorcerer is an AI-powered tool that asks you questions about topics to see what you know and to help you learn more. You start by putting in a topic that you're learning about, and then Sorcerer asks questions to determine your knowledge and understanding. Sorcerer provides help along the way if you get stuck or don't know the answers, and it can be set to 5 different levels of difficulty, from middle school all the way up to PhD. This is a great way for students to assess their understanding and get individualized support with any topic that they're learning. For example, this could be very helpful for a student to prepare for an upcoming test. Let's go ahead and take a look at the tool. So here is the Sorcerer website, and I've got one pulled up that I've created here in the past. To create your own Sorcerer, I can come up here to my account icon in the top and say that I want to summon a new Sorcerer, and I could type in the name and set it up from there. I won't create a new one right now. I'll just go into the edit mode for the one I've already got so you can see what goes into creating one. So basically, there's 4 main things you're going to do. One is content. Now, you don't have to fill in these particular things, but you can add memes, charts, illustrations, diagrams, things like that to go along with your Sorcerer if you'd like to under the content. Then under the difficulty settings, you can go anywhere from, again, middle school all the way up to PhD. Under topics, you can add topics that you would like the Sorcerer to suggest for students to choose from. So these will actually show up and they can just click on them to start chatting. But you can also allow them to type in their own, unless you turn on this option here to limit Sorcerer to the topics above. So if you had a particular set of topics for an upcoming test, you could say, okay, this is it. These are the only things we're chatting with Sorcerer about. And you could turn on that limit switch. Otherwise, if you leave that off, the student can type in a topic they want to learn about. And then lastly, there's a privacy setting if people need to be invited to join or if they can just go to the link and start chatting right away. Well, let's go ahead and go to Sorcerer and see what this would be like. So again, I can go with some of the recent topics here that have been used. But instead, I think I'm going to go ahead and just type in something as an example here. I'll keep it really simple for the example here today. Let's say I'm learning about quadrilaterals. We'll just keep this really basic and simple. So what's going to happen here is, instead of going to ChatGPT or Bard and asking it questions, the tables are turned, and now the AI is going to ask us questions to see how well we know the topic. Again, great way for students to assess their understanding, to prepare for a test, to learn more information. So it's saying here, let's start with the foundational question to assess your understanding. What is a quadrilateral? Can you define that? And so I'll keep it real simple again, and I'll just say a quadrilateral is a polygon with four sides. Now, I know it's asking a little more than that. It wants to know what are the different types, what are the key properties. I'm just going to start off by saying, hey, it's a polygon with four sides, and I'm going to submit that. Now, notice we have a 0 point ranking at the moment, but it just went up to 20. Our mastery score increased by 20. That's great. If you click on this little section here to expand this, it'll tell you how your score went up, how we answered part of the question to improve our understanding. Now, we're trying to get this up to 100 to show full mastery of that content. Now, it's going to ask us another question. Hey, let's try again. You know, that's good. I didn't fill out the whole thing. It says, could you explain different types of quadrilaterals and explain key properties of each? You know, so now at this point, I could start, you know, filling in some types of quadrilaterals. I could say they include squares, rectangles, trapezoids, we got rhombuses, or is that rhombi, I guess, I'm not sure, parallelograms, and there we go. I'll just go ahead and submit that to get started. And so now, again, I went up 20 more points because I gave some of the information. That's great, but now it's going to want me to go deeper and start explaining some of the key characteristics. Now, again, at each point, I'm going to keep increasing, hopefully getting up to 100. Having said that, if you're not sure, if it asks a question that you don't really know the answer, that's okay. You can say, I am not really sure about that. And I could say something like, can you help me? So we'll do that. Can you help me? And so, probably I'm going to lose some points when I do that. Oh, okay, it didn't this time. Sometimes it does, though. Sometimes that'll happen if I answer incorrectly or if I'm not able to answer, it may drop down 10 points or something. But in this case, it stayed the same. That's okay. And now it's going to start reteaching us. So it's saying, hey, let's start with a square. You know, a square is a type of quadrilateral where all the sides are equal and all the angles are 90 degrees. Can you tell me about the properties of a rectangle? And so it's starting with a square. It's going to have me start building up. So you get the idea. What I love about this is it will meet the student where they're at. It's going to start off with a simple question, and as it goes through, it's going to adjust. So every single student is getting a personalized learning experience with Sorcerer that's going to hopefully guide them to better understanding or at least realizing where they may be struggling, but hopefully learning new material and having greater mastery of that. Sorcerer is a free tool. It is in beta at the moment and is a free tool, at least during the beta period here, and is a great way to provide individualized support for learners. And next up, we have Enlighten AI. So Enlighten AI is an AI-powered tool to grade written student work based off of your style and guidance. So this is not a situation where you're just turning AI loose to grade your students' work, but instead it's what I like to call guided grading. You're providing a rubric and you're providing examples of your own grading style and approach that is going to train the AI to model after you. So basically you'll create an assignment or import submissions from Google Classroom if you wish. You'll then grade a few student submissions on your own manually to train the AI. It'll learn how you grade. Then it will start grading the rest for you, and you can review and, of course, edit any of the AI-generated grades and feedback that gets created, modeled after you. This can save tons of time in grading. And again, you still have the final say. It's just a co-worker to come alongside and help you grade modeled after your own style. So let's go ahead and take a look at the tool. So here I am signed into Enlighten AI. I'll we'll keep this really basic for this. You can check out the full blog post to get all of the details on how this works. But basically, there's a section where you can set up classes. If you do use Google Classroom, you can sync Google Classes over, which is fantastic. It'll bring in all the students and all the assignments and so forth. But you don't have to. You can create a class from scratch inside of Enlighten AI and give the students a code to join that. So if you don't use Google Classroom, that's okay. It'll work either way. There's also a section to set up rubrics. You can create your own rubrics very easily here and then reuse them again and again. There's a create rubric button here, which allows you to do a quick rubric or a much more advanced rubric if need be. But let's get to what we're looking at here today, which is the assignments portion of this. And so here's where you're going to find the actual assignments. If you're using Google Classroom, it'll sync those over for you. If not, you can just click the Create New Assignment button and you can set up a long form writing, short answer, quizzes, things like that, where you fill in all the details about what the assignment's going to be. But for this example here today, I'm going to go ahead and use one that I synced over from Google Classroom, a writing on the Stanford Prison Experiment. So I'll go ahead and give a click on that to open that up. And you can see that I've got 5 demo students. So no real assignments here, just some pretend demo students here. Before I can grade, I do need to pick the rubric I'm going to be using for this. Again, I could create one from scratch, but I can just select one that I've used before, which I will do in this case. I'll go ahead and use my Claim Evidence Reasoning rubric. Having said that, if you have done a similar assignment in the past, you can also click Reuse Past Setup, which doesn't just copy the rubric over, it copies over all the training data. So if you've already trained the AI on how you grade a, you know, claim evidence reasoning type of an assignment, you don't have to start from scratch. It can actually build off of what you've done in the past. For today though, I'll just go ahead and select that particular rubric and say we're going to use that rubric here, and we're going to go ahead and start grading. So when we do this, again, you will want to grade a few of these yourself first. And in this case, it's going to involve giving a rubric grade and giving some feedback here. Notice the AI says it's currently 0% trained, so I need to do a little bit of training myself here first to get it going. So for this particular one, let's say that I'm gonna give it a 2, 2, and 2 on the claim evidence and reasoning, and then for the feedback, I'll go ahead and fill in some personalized feedback there. At that point, I'll click Save and Continue, and it's going to move on to the next student. But do notice, as I do this, little by little, it's going to start learning. Now it says the AI is 20% trained. It is starting to learn, and it's actually suggesting a potential grade here, even off of just one example that I have done. Now, again, I may say, okay, I want to, you know, give it a little bit more training. I could either modify this slightly, or I could completely replace it and put in my own. For this one, let's go ahead and put in our own grades in place of what is here to continue training it. So I feel pretty good about these grades, but I think I'll adjust them slightly. I'm gonna bump the claim up to 5. I'm gonna drop the evidence and reasoning down to 3. And I'm going to go ahead again and put in my own personalized feedback here. Again, wanting to help the AI know how I like to grade. I'll click Save and Continue. And little by little, I'd say after 3, maybe 4 of these, it's really going to start to understand how we do our grading here. Up this point, it's up to 40% trained on this one. So let's give it at least one more bit of feedback for this one. Looks like I'm pretty close to agreeing on here. I'll drop this down to a 2, but I'm going to leave the evidence and reasoning at 1. I think that's pretty on track there. And then again, I'll give some personalized feedback here, save and continue. And from here on out, I think I would be pretty confident to take a look at what is getting generated here. And now maybe I'm not going to retype the entire feedback. Instead, I'm just going to slightly tweak it as it goes. And that's only after 3. A few more and this will be up to 100% trained. But even at this point, just some small little changes here and a save and continue will continue to train that model. And that's it. Basically, we can go through the entire class now, student student after student with a AI-generated suggested grade that we can always override, and an AI-generated feedback that is modeled after our style that, again, we can adjust as need be. When this is all finished, then we can share those grades back out with our students, again, saving us an awful lot of time. Now, Enlighten AI is currently free. They have indicated that they do plan to eventually have some premium features that they'll charge for, but there will always be a free version available for teachers. And so this is an excellent tool if you do open-ended response grading to have this come alongside you and provide some additional support as you are grading your students' work. And next up, we have Khanmigo. So Khanmigo is from Khan Academy and is an AI-powered virtual tutor and assistant for students and educators. Khanmigo can help students with any Khan Academy course that they're taking by providing support and explanations for content within that class. But it can also be used with students as just a set of standalone AI tools that can help with tutoring, writing, debating, chatting, and so much more. It can also be used by teachers, and they can use that to create instructional content, to assess student needs, create newsletters, and lots more. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. So here I am logged into my Khanmigo account. Now, I've got this set up as a teacher, but with student mode turned on as well. So I can see both the teacher and the student activities. So at the top here, I see the teacher tools. And so this allows me to do things like refresh my knowledge. Maybe as a teacher, I've got some content coming up that I need to teach, and it's been a little while since maybe I've taught that, and I need to chat with the AI to relearn some information I'm going to be teaching. Or there's create a lesson plan where I can let it know what I'm going to be teaching on, and it's going to guide me through creating a lesson plan, or creating a lesson hook, or writing learning objectives, or writing exit ticket questions. How about creating a class newsletter? Absolutely. I've got all these boxes I can fill in with the key things about the name of my class, what we did last week, et cetera, et cetera. And it can help generate a class newsletter or a recommendation letter. Maybe I need to write a recommendation letter for a student. Again, I can fill in the key details here, and it is going to help generate that for me. So these are great tools to support us as a teacher. Now, in addition to that, below here are the student tools. So if a student's logged in, they're not going to see these teacher tools at the top here. They're going to start here with the Tutor Me section down below. So let's talk about what are some of those. So for example, there's the Tutor Me section. Here, the AI will help students with math, science, humanities, etc. But the AI will not do the work for the student. They're going to help them learn how to solve problems on their own. That's the thing I love about this. Khan Academy has trained the AI to not just give answers, but to help the students learn as they work through things. Or let's go down to the practice my knowledge portion. Here the AI will help practice and build knowledge in the subjects that the student chooses by working through rounds of questions that they're going to go through. Next up, how about in the writing section, getting feedback on an academic essay? So here, the student will pick their grade level, the essay type, put in the instructions they were given, and then they'll paste in, this is my essay, this is what I've written so far. Like I did that as an example here, an essay comparing Hamlet and the Lion King. And then the AI is going to provide customized feedback. So over here on the side, notice it gave 18 suggestions to review on the intro, evidence, structure, conclusion, and style. And I can click on any one of these, and I can drill right into this very specific feedback to help me improve my writing. Fantastic, great stuff. Other things here, we've got a craft a story section where the student can pick a topic from the list provided, or they can type in their own idea for a story and it'll work them through doing that. Other things, how about having a debate? Love this. Here the AI will engage with the student in a debate on a topic, elementary, middle school, or high school. They can pick a topic and then pick a side, and then they'll go back and forth debating with the AI. Great way to encourage critical thinking. Really useful for the students to to pick a side that's contrary to what they're used to debating. That way they can really test their knowledge and understanding of the issues. Other things here, we've got chat with a literary character or chat with a historical figure, where again, the AI is going to take on a role and the students can ask questions of the AI in that role. And so many more. How about this one, Ignite My Curiosity, a much more open-ended one here, where basically the student can select from a list of topics or just type in what they'd like to learn about, and the AI will help them through learning that. And there's lots of other tools in there and many more getting added all the time. Now, this is one of the very few tools that I've shared that actually does not have a free version. This does come with a cost, so just heads up, be aware of that. It is $4 per month for a user to have access to this. There's a way to sign up as a parent for your children. There's a way to sign up as a teacher to use for themselves, but there's also a way for a district to sign up, and that has its own pricing, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I believe it would be a smaller amount because it's in bulk there. But it is $4 per month if it's an individual parent or teacher who is signing up for this. And of course, all the links to all of those options are available in the blog post that goes along with this. So that is KhanMiko, a wonderful AI tool really designed specifically for education with students and teachers in mind. All right, and next up we have Edpuzzle. So Edpuzzle has added some AI features as part of their new Teacher Assist suite of tools. If you're not familiar with Edpuzzle, it's been around forever. It's a great tool that allows you to take a video and then add questions to go along with the video. So when the students watch the video, they are also answering questions, which keeps them engaged and it makes sure that they're paying attention and engaging with the video. And of course, collects all that information for you so you can see if the students are struggling in what they do and don't understand. Well, there's now these new Teacher Assist AI features that include two things. First of all, there's the AI question generator. So instead of you having to create your own questions from a video, information is pulled from the video and the AI will generate and embed questions automatically. Of course, you can approve or change the questions, but it will save you time in the generation of them. And then secondly, there's also the AI auto grade feature. So in the past, Edpuzzle, of course, can grade multiple choice questions because it's just a right or wrong answer. But with open-ended questions, that's been a challenge. Well, now the AI can help grade open-ended questions to save you time and energy. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at how this works. I'm going to go ahead and pop over here to my Edpuzzle account. And I've already got a video that I picked as an example. It's about food webs. So I'm just going to come up here and paste in that video link and it will pull that video up for us there. Now, of course, I could go in and do the cutting and voiceover and all those things, but we're going to jump over to the questions because that's the part that we want to take a look at. Normally, this is where I would play through the video and then I would add my own multiple choice questions and open-ended questions and notes. But notice there's a button up here now that says generate questions with a little sparkly magic wand there, which is the universal symbol of AI, apparently. I'll come up and give a click on the generate questions button and say, do I want open-ended questions, multiple choice, or both? We'll do both for this example here. And it has created three questions based upon the content of that video. So we've got a multiple choice question here that we can use. There's an open-ended question, another multiple choice question as well. Now for any one of these, if we decide that that's just not quite the right match for what I'm looking at, we could always hit discard and not use that one, and then just keep the ones that we do want to use there. If we want to start all over again, of course, we can toss all of those out there and we could go ahead, refresh, and we could regenerate questions for that video as need be. All right, looks good. So let's go ahead and we'll just stick with the ones that we've got here. And for this example, we'll keep it pretty simple. Let's just have one question in here. Why are the spider monkey and the fruit tree in a mutually beneficial relationship? Let's just say for simplicity, we're just gonna keep that one example here. But again, you can let it generate as many as you need and add those into the video. Let's say that's good though. We'll go ahead and click finish. And so at this point, what we're going to do is assign this. So I'll go ahead and I'll just assign this to my open class here. And we'll go ahead and allow skipping just to save time to make this a little bit quicker for what we're doing here. And we'll go ahead and click assign. Normally, I would not allow the skipping. I want to make sure the students watch the entire video. But just for this example, we'll show it as such. All right, there we go. So let's go ahead and copy the link to this assignment and let's show you the second part of this. So first of all, we saw how the AI can generate multiple choice questions and open-ended questions for any video that you're going to be using in Edpuzzle. Well, what if now we want to show the other part of this where the AI can help grade the open-ended responses? So let's go ahead and we'll open up an incognito window here. We'll put that link in and we will join this class as a student. And again, we won't really watch through the video here. We'll just pretend that we did. And I'll even come in here and mute this so that we don't get any feedback from that. And we'll jump up to this first question. All right, so here's the question. And normally, again, we would watch the whole video. We wouldn't have skipping turned on. But in this case, we're just gonna jump up here. Why are the spider monkey and the fruit tree in a mutually beneficial relationship? So let's say we grab a response for the student here, and we say the spider monkeys eats the tree's fruit, which helps spread the seeds, which grows more trees, which makes more fruit for the monkeys. Pretty good answer there. We'll go ahead and hit submit and continue on. Now notice, this is not gonna be graded right now at this moment. I'll show you the grading very shortly as to how you're going to have the AI do the grading for you there. Now, if this was a multiple choice question, of course, it would just give you yes or no. It would let you know if you got it wrong. All right, there we go. Normally, we would, of course, now watch all the rest of the video, but in this case, that's good. We've gotten through all of that. So now, let's come back over here to being the teacher. And let's take a look at this particular assignment now. So from my list of available assignments, I see I've got one new answer here. I'll go ahead and come on in to this particular assignment. Now, normally I'd have, 25 or however many students are in my class. In this example, we just have one. And I'm gonna go ahead and click where it says one answer to grade. And you'll notice we have the student's response, but here, once again, there's that sparkly magic wand that says auto grade. So instead of going through and grading all of these ourselves, we can click on auto grade. Now, when we do this, what we need to do is we need to give an exemplar. We need to show what is a good answer to this particular question. So I'll go ahead and put in an answer that would cover all the things that we're trying to cover here. And now if I click on auto grade, it's going to learn from the answer I gave and apply that to what the students answered. So let's click auto grade, give that a moment to do its thing there. And now let's take a look. And it says, looks good, gave them a 100 out of 100 on this particular answer here. Now, of course, I can come in here if I wanna make a change, I can change the grade. Myself, you always have the ability to override that. And of course, I can come down here and add my own comment to this as well. So there you go. If you haven't used Edpuzzle before, it's a great tool. It's a fantastic way to be able to have students watch a video while staying engaged with questions. Well, now it's even better. Now the AI can help you generate the questions and it can come alongside you and help you grade the open-ended responses as well. When it comes to pricing, there is a completely free version of Edpuzzle that will do all of this. The only limit is you can only have 20 active video lessons at a time, which is very reasonable. For a price of $13.50 a month, though, you can get unlimited amounts of video lessons as well. All right, so that is it for the final six of the Cool Tools from the Cool Tools 23 series. All 24 of those Cool Tools are all available on my blog, and of course you can get to them at bit.ly/cool-tools-23. Now, 24, that's an awful lot of tools, but there's no way I could cover everything, and so I did end up adding a bonus. There is one more blog post that I added on, and that is my honorable mentions blog post, where I covered additional tools that I ran out of time, or I didn't get a chance to really explore them as much as I wanted to, or somebody had mentioned, and it's on my short list to take a closer look at later. And so if you go to that blog post, you'll see some of the honorable mentions, which include AI tools such as AudioPen, Chat for School, CoGrader, Formative, FreePix AI Image Generator, Gamma, Ideogram, Microsoft Designer, Odd One Out, Perplexity, Pi, Say What You See, and Schemely. And again, I'm sure I'm still not including all of the awesome AI tools. So please let me know, what am I missing? What AI tools have you been using that you're excited about that should be added to this list? Please drop me an email, let me know. I will explore that tool and I will get it added to this list. I'll keep going back and continuing to flesh out this honorable mentions list with more cool tools as you send them my way. So next up, I'll share another resource from my blog, which is an upcoming artificial intelligence online virtual conference called SequoiaCon. So this is taking place February 29th and March 1st, and it's going to be covering AI in K-12 education with wonderful presentations from dozens of teachers, administrators, and technology experts. And somehow I have included myself into that list. I will be doing a session for this as well. You can get to the conference website at bit.ly/SequoiaCon, or you can head over to my Control-Alt-Achieve site where I do have quite a lot of information on it there as well. It is not a free conference. There is a cost, but you can save some money. You can get $50 off your registration by using coupon code Control-Alt, as in Control-Alt-Achieve, to help save when you register. This conference is great for anybody in education, whether you're a teacher or principal, classified staff, and so on, covering lots and lots and lots of topics. Day one's going to focus on ways that AI can help educators and staff solve everyday problems, whereas day two is going to branch out into different levels and grades and positions within the school. So hopefully this looks like a great opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about AI. And if so, I look forward to getting a chance to learning with you there. Speaking of conferences, next up for my next resource to share is my ISTE 2024 sessions. I am so excited to be heading back to ISTE once again this upcoming year. ISTE 2024 is going to be in Denver, June 22nd through 26th. So far, I have six sessions that I will be sharing at ISTE. Sometimes I pick up a few others here or there, but at the moment, these are the six that I'll be sharing. So things including AI, AIO, engaging AI uses in education, the AI and EdTech Power Hour, which is a panel presentation I'm doing with several other awesome folks, my perennial favorite, the Hipster Google Tools You Probably Never Heard Of session, another AI session, the Bard's Tale, Great Google AI Tools for Education, my Joy of Google Drawings session. Always love that Bob Ross wig and outfit that I used for the image for that particular session. And then another AI session. Yes, even you can code with the help of AI, showing how AI can come alongside and help you code, even if you know very, very little about coding. In addition to those sessions, I have set up a sharing document like I've done in years past. So if you are attending ISTE, I would encourage you to visit this sharing document at bit.ly/ISTE24-share, where you can add your name to the document so people can connect with you, as well as sessions you are presenting or sessions you've attended. But it's also a great place to find out about mixers, events, and meetups, as well as good restaurants and attractions, ask questions, get feedback, and get help, because ISTE ISD is such a big conference, all the help we can get can be very helpful for us to make the most out of that event. So I hope to see you there at ISD 24 in Denver. And last but not least, the final resource to share this week is my 2023 Year in Review post. I like to do these each year at the end of the year to wrap up some of the highlights from the year in Control-Alt-Achieve, and I have done so again this year. I won't go through all the details here, just a couple of highlights. I include things like what were the top blog posts from the last year. So if you're curious, out of the 124 posts that I put up in 2023, which were the most popular, I've got the 10 top posts from last year. This can be a great way for you to check out what was most popular from that. And by the way, if you want to never miss a post, I do have a link here where you can sign up with Follow It to get automatic email notifications anytime a new post shows up on the blog. Other things from the year, I did share some YouTube stats. If you have not yet subscribed to my YouTube channel, definitely encourage you to do so. I had 48 new videos that I shared over this last year. The most popular one was on making photo words with Google Slides. Next up, PD sessions. It was a busy year. Artificial intelligence definitely caused that. Had a lot of AI sessions. Ended up providing 280 professional development sessions throughout 2023. So it was an incredibly busy year. A lot of those, of course, right here in my own state of Ohio, but I did travel around a bit. Got to 12 other states to give keynotes and PD sessions at schools and conferences in quite a number of wonderful states. If you would like to have me come visit your school or your conference in 2024, I would love to do so. Definitely check out my PD catalog, bit.ly/Kurtz-PD. I've got over 70 sessions in there with loads and loads of AI sessions. And of course, I'm always happy to customize things to your particular needs and interests. Next up, have some stats on the newsletter. We had 31 newsletters go out this year. If you haven't signed up for that yet, please do that at bit.ly/Kurtz-news. We've also got two different discussion groups, the email discussion group, which has been going on for a while. We've got over 900 members now. You can sign up for that to stay connected with all the other amazing educators all around the world. And then in 2023, we started up a Facebook group as well. There's over 1,200 members in that. Links to join either or both of those are available in the post. And then finally, just for a little bit of fun, little non-ed tech things, I shared some of my favorite shows from 2023. So I've got a list of about 10 or so movies and TV shows that I enjoyed the most. I put them alphabetically. I didn't want to have to rank them from 1 to 10, but it's some of my favorite things that I got to see in movies and TV shows for the last year. And I'd love to hear, do any of your favorites cross over onto my list, or what's something I'm missing? What's a show I really, really need to catch from last year? Now, having said all of that, it's important to note these are not just numbers. All of this represents people. It's people that I've had a chance to connect with over the last year, people that I've learned with, people that I've learned from, and I really appreciate everybody who adds in to these numbers that are summarized in this blog post, and I'm really looking forward to learning more with you in 2024. And those are the links for this week. If you have questions, comments, or resources to share, please connect with me at bit.ly/CAA-connect, where you can get links to my email, blog, social media, YouTube, newsletter, discussion group, Facebook group, and so much more. And of course, be sure to go to bit.ly/CAA-links to access the resources from this episode, as well as all the previous weeks, and of course, the weeks to come. Until next time, thanks and take care.